Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Terry and I have been down at the Ark for the last 4 days, and that's down in Kentucky, about 35, 40 miles into Kentucky, and it's a full-size Ark built according to the dimensions of in the Bible. And Ken Ham is the CEO down there and a very great speaker, and we heard Triumphant sing songs we sang this morning, number one gospel group in the country. But a few things about the Ark. One, there's no rudder. So Noah didn't build it. It's 150 years building a boat, and he didn't want to steer it. No place for a sail, because he wasn't going anywhere except where God wanted him to go. No oars, because he had enough work to do taking care of all those animals that were on there. But the amazing thing when we went down there is you get ready to go into the Ark, and it says storm shelter. A modern sign that said storm shelter is a real storm shelter. So anyway, if you haven't got to see that, let me tell you to go see it. And you say, preacher, you believe that story? Yes, I do. I believe that story. Matter of fact, I wanted to ask you this morning, how big is your God? How big is he? Is he a God that if you lose your job, you'll call on him and pray and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, and lead me and open up another door, but we don't pray any other time? Or is he a God that's big enough that if one of the kids gets sick, you'll pray and maybe even get down on your knees and pray or ask others to pray, but we don't pray when the kids aren't sick? Or when we almost are in an accident and we look up and say, thank you, Lord, for protecting me, but we don't realize that he protects us every day, every hour, and every minute of the day. Is he big enough for us to forgive those who misused us? That's pretty big, isn't it? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. Is he big enough to save that guy or that gal at work that's just been cantankerous? I'm here to tell you, God is big enough for all those things. I had a fellow I worked for when I was in the Navy, and he needed to be saved. And I would pray for him, and the day I'd pray for him, that day he'd be mean to me. And he'd be mean to everybody. And then I wouldn't pray for him, and he'd be nice. Then I'd pray for him, he'd be mean. And you know what I learned? God, there's something going on here. And I remember going to work and saying, Lord, I'll take the hardness that he gives me. You just keep pressuring him. So I'm going to keep praying for him. And he gave his life to the Lord. How big is God? There's a little boy standing out along the road with his dad, and he said, Dad, how big's God? And he pointed up into heaven, and he saw an airplane, and he said, God's that big right there, son. And the little boy said, he isn't very big, is he? So man put the boy in the car, and he drove to the airport. That big 747 had landed. He took him out on the tarmac, and he said, that's the airplane you saw up in the air. And he looked up at it and he said, my, it's huge. It's way bigger than we are, Dad. And Dad said, that's how big God is. The closer you get to him, the bigger he is. Amen. How big is your God? How close are you to him? When you hear the story about Jesus walking on water on the Sea of Galilee, it even tells us where he was at. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. I also believe Peter walked on water. when he looked at Jesus and said, "Can I come to you?" And Jesus said, "Come on," and he stepped out of the boat. What about the lame man that walked? The Bible tells us it was by the pool of Bethesda where it was at, where the sick lay. And he said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." You believe that, preacher? Yeah, I believe that. What about the blind man that he gave him his sight? The Bible gave us his name. His name was Bartimaeus. Yes, I believe that. What about when he raised the dead? The man's name was Lazarus. He was known by the disciples, and Jesus did it with a crowd of people standing around. And he had been dead for 4 days. Do you believe that, preacher? Yes, I believe that. And so did the men that wrote down these stories, because they gave their life for it. How could those 11 men stand so firm as to give their life for a lie? I learned out when Nixon resigned from the presidency, the 6 most powerful men in the country couldn't keep a lie for 15 minutes. They broke. I believe it. Well, what about the 6 days? God created the world in 6 days, and the 7th day he rested. And you say, "Preacher, what about that?" I have a little problem with that, just to be honest with you. Why? Because I always wonder why God didn't just do it instantly, because he's capable of doing that. God does not live in the time frame that we live in. God gave us a time frame by saying the first day he created the heavens and the earth, and they are void without form. And the 2nd day and the 3rd day and the 4th day and the 5th day and the 6th day and the 7th day he rested. So if you go by a week, you got that from the Bible. Whether you're a Christian or an atheist, if you see a 7-day week, you got it from the book. And God gave it to us, because we are not him. We are in a time frame. He put us in a time frame. Yes, I believe he created the world in 6 days, and the 7th day he rested. I have no doubt, no misconceptions about that. I believe that he went to prepare a place for us, which is called heaven, which is much better than here. And if he can create that, which is better than here, he can create here, which is not as good as that. So you're going to have a real rough time thinking about and believing in heaven if you don't believe in a God that's big enough to do those things. Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. I believe that Jesus came to give us eternal life. I believe that he ascended into heaven and seated upon the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And he went to create a place for us. And he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus proved who he was by fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus proved who he was by what he did on this earth that was recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded again. I believe, because I have seen lives change miraculously in his name. I've seen him take people that their life was in torment with drugs, and he cleaned them up and straightened them out and filled them with his spirit. And with that, they didn't need any more drugs. I've seen husband and wives reconciled together because of sin, and the sin he wiped away and buried as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered again, and is never remembered again. And God set their feet on new ground. I've seen it. I've seen at this altar people that have been healed right here at this altar. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen God take Terry and I from Florida. I was working in Ocala, Florida at the Culligan dealership, and I was offered the manager's job in the Defiance dealership. And I took the job. Man, this is 40 years ago. With a promise of a paycheck of $800 a week. 40 years ago. we move. We find a place to live. We settle in. I go to my first day of work and I meet with the owner, and he said, I can't pay you what I promised you, or what I told you. He didn't say he promised me. I said, what do you mean you can't pay me what you told me? He said, I can only pay you half that, and you're not going to get any more than that anywhere until in defiance, so I'll pay you $400. And I said, don't pay me that. Just pay me commission on what's sold out of here. He said, okay. I made more than the $800 he promised me. So after 3 weeks of doing that, he cut my check to $800. I called him and I said, you're $300 short. He said, well, that's what I promised you was $800. Have you ever been lied to? Taken advantage of? Used? And you say, God, why in the world this happened to me? So I made a phone call. My brother was going to put up some money and we were going to buy a dealership. And they said, we'd like to come in and see you, but we don't have a district manager in that area. He's been promoted national sales manager. You know what this young 30-some-year-old kid said? Don't hire somebody before you talk to me. So they flew me to Minnesota, and long story short, I became a district manager at that company. I made enough money that we got out of debt. I made enough money that we had saved several $1,000s. Made enough money that we had bought a couple new cars. And lo and behold, I got a call from my pastor when I was in Lansing, Michigan, and said, would you go down and speak at North Cove Church for 3 weeks? And I said, I guess so. I've been here 37 years. God moved us from Florida because somebody lied to us. You say, preacher, can God use somebody that's lost and unsaved and somebody? Yeah, because God's going to put you in the right place that you can use you in the place that he wants to use you in. I know he did it with me. I also know that he did it with Joseph. Joseph was traded by his brothers into Egypt, working as a slave for Potiphar. He worked his way up, and then he was betrayed in Potiphar's house. He was in prison. God knew where he was all the time. He was in prison because that's where God wanted to pull him from to make him the prime minister of Egypt. Oh, well, what about Moses? All the children are going to be killed, so Moses was hid in the bulrushes. Why was Moses hid there? So that the Pharaoh's daughter could pick him up and he could be raised in the Pharaoh's house in order to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You think God don't know where you're at and what you're going through and the trials and the tribulations you're going through? God is that big. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly where you're at. The problem is we don't know that God knows where we're at. Why am I going through what I'm going through? I had plans. I was happy. I really wanted that job. I was misused. I was betrayed. I was used. God knows where you are. God knows why you are there. The real question comes, do we trust him? God's that big. I think that a chicken out eating off the gravel road in the ground can't comprehend what you know. I don't think that a cow chewing its cud in the barn can comprehend that man can build a skyscraper, or he can build a bulldozer that will help dig a basement. And I don't think, the Bible says, Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people. Our brain just isn't made to absorb and understand how big God is, but it is made big enough to trust him through every circumstance. Listen to what the Bible says, Philippians 4:11. Paul said, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstance I'm in. Have you learned to be content? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were thrown in the fiery furnace. Say, oh, what a terrible thing. They didn't get burned. Somebody had to go in the furnace in order for Nebuchadnezzar to see God. Sometimes at your work, at school, going through what you're going through, maybe with your family, someone needs to see someone that can walk through the fire in order to see who God is. I've said this many times, many people in their sickness, I believe many times, just as God put a spotlight on Job, and for thousands of years, people have looked and saw Job. He lost his family, he lost his cattle, he lost his barn, he lost the respect of his wife, but he didn't lose his faith in God. And for thousands of years, Job has been looked to as an example by Christians to know that God knows exactly what you're going through. So don't get depressed over it. Don't get upset over it. Don't get mad over it. Just accept that God knows. Look at what God has done here at Heritage. Over the last 2 years, we've not passed an offering plate. The church has been closed for many weeks, and ministries were halted. Yet we worked. We did ministry. We've added many people through our live stream. Heritage Church did not die because God is alive. He is bigger than anything the world can throw at us. We added a new furnace, an air conditioner. We remodeled the lobby. We replaced the roof. We hired a full-time Pastor Marty and part-time Josh and our youth. And if you've seen what went on Wednesday night, we're on top of it. We have 100-some people besides the ones that are coming to church on Sunday morning at 9 and 11. We have 100-some people, that's families, that download our service and watch online service. We did all of that, and we didn't send out a letter asking you for more money. We did all of that, and we've not called you on the phone asking you for more money. You know why? Because God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and we get down on our knees at the leadership of this church, and we pray, and we say, God, we pay our bills. You need to pay yours. And God taps one of you on the shoulder without me asking. And he says, here, a person came to me at 9 o'clock service and handed me $1,000 and said, there, this is for the church. That's how it comes in. Dick, wasn't all that many years ago you handed me a check for $8,000. One thing you did not know on that Saturday when you gave me that check is we didn't have enough money to pay our $8,000 mortgage on Monday. But we had it on Sunday. God knows. We serve a big God. We serve a God that knows exactly where you are, exactly what you're going through. We bought new cameras. We bought a new computer. Why? Because God is faithful. And when you get close to him, you can see just how big he is. And you don't have to run around looking at this or looking at that or looking over your shoulder or who's going to do this to you or who's going to do that to you. You don't have to worry about that. Because we serve a big, big, big God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't get upset. Don't get worried. Don't get hateful. Don't get jealous. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. That means he's overcome your trouble. But what do we do when trouble comes? 2 Chronicles 20:9, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or a plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. So, Lord, if things get bad, we're going to come to church, we're going to bow down and pray, and we're going to trust you. It's the end of it. We're going to trust you because we know heaven's real. I had a preacher say one time, he got threatened. Somebody made 2 or 3 phone calls to church and told him they were going to kill him. And he said, you can't scare me with heaven. I'm sorry, but that don't scare me. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Oh God, will you not judge them? God, will you take this enemy away? Will you judge them and take them out of my life? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You ever been there? I don't know what to do. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I didn't know what to do when I'd moved Terry up here, and we had bills and we had things to do. And then the guy sat down and told me he had lied to me. But God knew why he moved me here. I had never heard of the Church of God until then. Terry liked their music. So he went to Church of God because Terry liked their music. I don't know a thing about music. I come from a musical family. My mother says there's a lot of music in me because none's ever came out. But we went. I became friends with the associate pastor and then the pastor, Dick Latham. We started doing some golfing together. He found out that I had a background in theology, and he recommended me to come up here. And for 37 years, we've been here. God moved us on a lie from Ocala to Defiance to put us here. Jesus said, Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I can look back over my life and I can tell you that is absolute fact. Every time I've doubted, every time I've got upset, every time I wanted to hate somebody, I see God has used it to either teach or train me or turn me. As we're going through COVID and you're going through some other things, your prayer might be as mine did. Lord, teach me all you can teach us through this round of COVID, because we don't want to go through another lesson. Lord, teach me all you can teach me during this round of cancer, because I really don't want to go through it again because I didn't learn something. That's the kind of God we serve. All spiritual blessings, Matthew 28:20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always, even into the end of the age. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I am with you always. Do you hear that? Can you say it? I am with you always. In the river, Moses. In the prison, Joseph. In shackles, Paul. I got this. If we know the truth, we have some place to go. The truth is that God is bigger than anything the world can throw at you. Bigger than any sickness, bigger than death, bigger than any job you might lose, bigger than anything. And if you know that to be true, you have some place to go. And that's to Him. So don't just be a follower. Or be a Christ follower, not just a Christ admirer. Don't just say, oh, look, up there He is. Say, oh my, how big you are and how little I am. And stand in His shadow. And you'll walk through life with peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory, because you serve a great big God. Let's stand. We want you to sign up. You can sign up today for your photos. Some people are saying, we'll just use the one that was in the last book. I'm sorry, but we wouldn't recognize you from that one. You've aged a bit. Besides, they charge us to do that. If you come in and get your picture taken, you get a free 8x10, and you get your picture in the directory and your name and whatever else. We want everyone to sign up. And if you know of someone that's not here, tell them to call Mary and get their name on the team. Lord, I thank You for this time. Lord, might You grow in our lives. Might we draw closer to You through prayer, through Bible study, through thinking about You, through talking about You, through having friends that encourage us in You. Might we be encouragement to everyone that we see and talk to. Because, Lord, You're just big enough for that. Thank You now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.